Amen. Boys, have you had a good week? Guys, I am so glad you're here. I've said it 100 times, but whatever the reason you're here, I'm just glad you're here. I'm humbled that you come. I truly, truly am. Go ahead and take out your message note. Easter's a party, man. It's a celebration. I've been celebrating all week thinking about how much he loves me, and I guess I get my own little world, you know. And a friend of mine bought me this thing that I set in my cup holder. It says it again, you know, because she said, I guess it's how I portray it, says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. You know, sometimes I just feel like his favorite. You know, not to make you others feel bad, but I feel pretty good about the way he loves me. We went to visitation Tuesday night. My aunt had died, and my mother's got like 15 brothers and sisters. I don't know all of them. And so there's 4 of us kids, and, you know, and we hadn't seen them in years and years and years and years. And you know, my mom, she just takes off. All 4 of us arrive at different times. But I notice she grabs us, you know. She starts introducing us to all her brothers and sisters. You know, and she makes you feel like you're her favorite. You know, she said, here's Sonny. That's me, if you guys don't know. I'm Sonny. She said, remember, he was the skinny one. Oh. You know. Way to go, Mom. I love you so much. Here's why I don't come to any of your stuff, all right? But you know, I watched her, and she made all of us feel like, you know, we were her favorite, all 4 of us that was different. And I think that's the way it is, you know. But this whole deal with Jesus Christ is wonderful. Can you imagine, you know, he came, and when he came and died, it was so significant that this event split history. Even the year that we proclaimed, 2008 AD, it split it right down. It was either before Christ or after he died. That's pretty neat. But I want to talk to you today about what it means to believe in Jesus. And we talked about it, this verse every week just about, but I love it. Read it with me in your outline, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believes in him, John 3:16. Thank you. Believes in him. The latest Gallup poll said 86% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. But the Bible tells us that not every believer is a true believer. Before you check out on me, just give me 20 minutes, maybe 30, 35. But it says in the word, Matthew 7 says, not everyone who calls me their Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones who obey my Father in heaven will get in. You can't tell a true believer by their words. You got to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And in Rockmart, I remember an old man telling me that you talk like heaven, but you walk like hell. Which was my life for a long time. But I just figured I was working on my testimony. But I got a huge testimony, all right? We ain't got time for that, but I'll show you bits and pieces every once in a while. But James 2:14 says, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? The answer is no, it can't. And I think of my friends. I put my friends in three categories. They're either saints, they're stumblers, or they're seekers. You know, saints, my friends that are saints are believers. They believe in Jesus and they act like it. They're not perfect, but they're not living for themselves either. The second category of friends are stumblers. And I love them just as much. If you're one of my friends that are stumbler, and I've told you you're a stumbler, I love you just as much. love you just as much. They know and believe in Jesus, they just don't act like it. They lead a kind of a self-centered life. Thankfully, I don't think I've told too many of you that you were stumblers. Then there's seekers. I love seekers. I have a lot of friends that are seekers, and they're just kind of checking things out. They just hadn't made a decision yet. And as your friend and the pastor of North Point Church, I want to help you settle this issue. And so what it means to believe in Jesus, I want to look at five different facets of it today. Not in any particular order. It was just put into an acrostic of faith that I had learned from the Bible and some things that I read from Rick Warren and several other things. But jump right in. I'm going to have to be getting some water today. So please bear with me. Follow his example. Follow his example. Everybody has somebody's example that they're going to follow. Everybody has. Whether it be Britney, P. Diddy, or Donald Trump. But the truth is, if you don't decide what example you're going to follow, what model you're going to look at, other people will decide it for you. Other people will decide who you're going to follow. But God says, wait a minute. I made you to be you. And I gave you an example, a model to follow. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the only one worthy of following. Do you realize it's okay for you to be you? That's huge. You don't have to be anybody else. God loves you just like you are. But we can follow, we can climb this huge ladder of success only to discover when we get to the top, we had it leaning against the wrong wall. The wrong wall. You know, and I'll admit in my younger years is when I thought of Jesus, you know, that, you know, because even in my Sunday school, you know, Jesus was taught to be kind of mild and meek and all about peace and love. You could almost see him skipping through the hills of Jerusalem. But if that were so, how did Jesus Christ get these big old burly fishermen to follow him? Jesus Christ was so countercultural that he went against the Roman Empire. Jesus Christ was a manly man. He's who I want to follow. He wasn't all about, He was a man. He's somebody that, you know, of course he didn't believe in all that fighting and stuff, I don't guess, but too much. Maybe he did. I wouldn't want to meet in the alley with him. He was tough. Did you see what he went through? He was a manly man. Somebody that I'd love to follow. Look at John 13. 17, you will be blessed whenever you follow my example. Everywhere Jesus went, he told people to follow him. In the Bible, 21 times, he said, follow me. He didn't say follow a religion. He didn't say follow a principle. He didn't say follow a program. He didn't say follow a denomination. He said, follow me. You see, what I found out is God wants a relationship, not a religion. That's why he says, follow me, relationship. When he says, follow me, it implies a relationship. Follow him. Now, you get a lot of benefits from following Jesus Christ. But I only want to mention two, and I'm not going to stay on them long. But you get number one, you get stability. And number two, you get clarity. Well, what's clarity mean? When I started following Jesus Christ about 15 to 16 years ago, that I started seeing things clearer. All of a sudden, things weren't as confused anymore. And so, look at John 18:12. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You ever feel like you're stumbling around? no purpose, and you're kind of going in no direction. Jesus Christ said, I can clear all that up. You know, and the second thing that I received 15 or 16 years ago was stability. Stability. What does that mean? Well, I got this solid foundation in my life. I had a center finally. When the storms of life came, it held strong. It had a center. You may not be going through a storm right now, but it's coming. You know, whether it's a marriage storm, whether it's a financial storm or a job storm or a health storm, it's coming. It's coming. So I got to ask you, what's going to be the center of your life? Will you fall apart when these storms come? Look at Matthew 7:24. All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house on solid rock. Jesus Christ is the best example of leadership. Guys, I want to talk, you bosses, you corporate leaders, whatever you are, administrators, he is the prime example of a leader. A couple of years ago, I did a Lead by Jesus series, and I may do that again. If that's all right, would y'all mind if I repeated something, man? Because I repeat stuff all the time anyway. But, all right, let's go right into this. One of these days I'm going to do that pretty soon. Leading like Jesus. Accept his grace. Accept his grace. Oh, I love grace. What does it mean? Look at Romans 5:17. Those who accept God's full grace and the great gift of being made right with him will surely have true life and rule through Jesus Christ. You know what grace is? God gives you what you need instead of what you deserve. Man, I'm so thankful he gave me what I needed. And not what I deserved. You know what? That's like forgiveness. Forgiveness is like, I think the word I'm looking for, some of you teachers may help me, is like a synonym for grace. When we forgive, we're actually giving grace. You know, they may not deserve it. They hurt us real bad. But we give grace. But you know, everything we have and everything we do, every breath we take, is a gift from God. It's just a flat-out gift from God. The money that we have, the abilities that we have. God shows us grace all the time. But he offers forgiveness of everything that we've done, do, will do, if we just trust Jesus Christ. We accept his grace. Romans 3:22 says, now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can all be saved in this same way, by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. Regardless of our ethnic background, regardless of our religious background, regardless of our financial background, we can come to Christ and we can have a relationship with him, no matter what we've done. Hey, that's something worth shouting about. We get a second chance. Second chance. We're not on the three strikes and you're out. Grace is when God said to me, 15, 16 years ago, he said, Jim, you made some bad choices. But it's okay. We're going to start over. This time I'm going to help you if you'll let me. That's what grace is. The only way to accept it is to admit that you need it, though. Admit that you're not perfect. Mark 10:15 says, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get it. You'll never get in. That's called humility. You see, a child's not prideful. You know, I look at my kids, and not so much Sarah now that she's 15 and knows everything. But sometimes Luke just yells out, calls out, Dad, I need your help. With the simplicity of a child. And maybe sometimes we ought to say, Jesus, I need your help. Dad, I'm messing it up on my own. I've made a mess of things down here. Would you forgive me and help me? And he will. He did for me. As a pastor, October will be 10 years since I've been your pastor. And what I've discovered is you don't have a problem with God's forgiveness. You have a problem forgiving yourself. Just forgive. You just can't forgive yourself sometimes. All right, going to the I. What it means to believe in Jesus is to invest my life in him. You've got three choices of what to do with your life. You can waste your life, you can spend your life, or you can invest your life. The purpose of our life is not to just acquire and build up stuff and pile up a bunch of possessions or get as much power as we can. The greatest things in life are not things. God made you and God made me for a purpose. I want you to know something, and we've read it and we say it so many times, you are not an accident. You are not an accident. But God isn't going to force this purpose on you. You have this freedom of choice to follow God's plan or your own. And as your pastor, don't wait as long as I did. But I'm going to tell you now, since I'm following God's plan, I'm going to tell you, I believe I'm the happiest man on earth. I believe that's why I feel like sometimes I'm his favorite. I believe I've got the best gig in town. I can't wait to get here on Sunday. And most of the time, I can't wait to see you guys. Guys, the choices you make on this planet have eternal implications. I want to tell you something. As I thought about the resurrection this week, Jesus Christ did not come and he did not die and go through what he went through so that you and I could lead a self-centered life. It just didn't happen. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you have been saved from death and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purpose. Guys, I want to tell you about you know, I can only talk to you about my life, but ever since this has happened, it's been the greatest adventure that I've ever been on to be used by God. I want to tell you, when you are used by God, for God, it's why he made you. You're going to be on the greatest adventure that you've ever been on. And if you've never experienced that thrill, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It is the ride of a lifetime. Nothing compares to it. $1 million, billion, trillion, nothing compares to it. He's being used by him. And there's a difference between success and significance. Success doesn't satisfy. You always want more. But you and I, what I've discovered, God made us. We were made for significance. You do this by being what you were created to be. Investing your life in what Jesus, how he wired you. Matthew 25 says, to those who use well and invest what they've been given by God, even more will be given to them. But for those who are unfaithful with what they've been given, even what little they have will be taken from them. God has made an investment in your life. He has created you. He has wired you. And guys, he expects a return from you and from me. And when we return, he'll give us more. One day we're going to stand before God. Remember, we talk about these questions all the time. He's going to ask us two questions. He's going to say, Jim, what'd you do with my son? Every one of us is going to have to face these questions. And I've got to answer for what I've done with Jesus Christ. Well, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Good answer, Jim. The second question he's going to ask you is, what'd you do with what I gave you? What'd you do with your talents? What'd you do with your skills? What'd you do with your gifts? What'd you do with your money? What'd you do with all of this? What'd you do with what I gave you?
What did you do? Did you invest it in the kingdom? Every investment has a return, whether it's good or bad. Guys, you and I have to make some good choices with how we're going to invest it. Well, what's the return? You might say, well, Jim, what's the return for investing in God's plan for my life? Peter asked the same question. Did you guys know that? Peter was a fisherman. You know, he gave up everything. And Peter says, Jesus, we gave up everything. Our jobs, our livelihood, we gave up everything to follow you. What do we get back for? I think that's a good question. I like Peter. Straight to the point. What do I get out of it? Jesus said, whoever gives whatever anybody gives up for me, they will get back 100-fold. You know what 100-fold is? That's 10,000%. No CD returns that. No stock returns that. 10,000%. Whatever you give up for him, you will receive 100-fold. And that's what I love about this church, is we get that. We get the point that it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about kingdom building, loving others, doing things. Stop being selfish. Doing something significant with our life. There's lots of opportunities right here at North Point. Whether you want to do it in Adairsville, whether you want to do it in Cartersville, whether you want to do it in Normal, Illinois, whether you want to do it in Belize, Afghanistan, Mexico, Pakistan, India, we go to all those places somehow, some way. You can help out right here. Lots of opportunities. Let's look at the T. T is to trust his wisdom and strength. Colossians 2:6 says, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. It's about trust. Faith is not about trying. Faith is about trusting. I got a couple of calls this week. So, Jim, I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of trying with my marriage. I'm tired of trying with my relationships. I'm tired of trying with my business. Well, it's time to stop trying and start trusting. So don't ever call my house and tell me you're tired of trying. My pat answer, Scott Holder said, we just need to put on my answer machine. If you're tired of trying, press 1. The answer is going to be start trusting. Start trusting. If you're tired of trying on some relationships that you have, it's time to start trusting. If you're tired of trying to find a job, it's time to start trusting. So don't call my house. Where am I at? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even in the worst of times, God is working for the good of those who love and trust him. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. He gives you both power and strength. You know how to tell if you're not trusting? One word. That's a question. You guys got the answer? You worry. If you don't trust, you worry. What do we say here, guys? You can either worry or you can worship. It's your choice. You're going to worry, you're going to worship. All right, last word, H, hold on to his promises. Did you know in the Bible there's over 7,000 promises? You ought to get one of them and hold on to it.
There's promises of caring, of prosperity, of peace, success, health, healing, comfort, loneliness. Man, it's like a blank check. You're just waiting on you to write. Promises just for you. But it's kind of like an insurance policy. The reason you worry, you don't know what's covered. You got to read the policy. You got to see what's covered. And claim one. Claim a couple. Because there's only one thing that God can't do. Do you know what it is? He can't lie. He can't lie. He keeps his word. It's just not in him to tell a story, to fib. He can't go back on his word. Look here. God can't break his word. So we who have trusted our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. Never let go. Next week we're going to begin a series. I believe we're going to do that. I'm still trying to seek the Lord on this. About 1 month to live. What would you do with 1 month to live? And we're going to be talking about some issues about God's promises and things like that. And one of the promises that I hold on to is mine and the elders' memory verse this week. And it's Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I put it in here because I want you to know the promise that I hold on to. And I haven't memorized it yet, so I'm going to read it, all right? I'll have it Wednesday morning, Pastor Fred. Listen to this. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God and revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You might be trying to get God to stop loving you as I did, but I got news for you. He ain't going to stop. I tried to make him stop loving me, but he ain't going to stop. It doesn't matter. He will not stop loving you. It's not in him. His love is not based on what you do. It's based on who he is. And God is love. You know, I told the 9 o'clock service, you know what Luke has to do, my son, for me to love him? Absolutely nothing. He is my son. We are God's sons and daughters. He loves us. So if you think that there's something you're going to do to make him stop loving you, it ain't happening. Na, 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 na. He's going to love you. He's going to love you. He says you can believe him. Whatever pain, whatever rejection, he is the truth. He is the truth. Let's read it one more time. Let's read it with passion. Read it with me. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from his love. Death can't. Life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us. He will love me. He will love you. He is love. He can't stop. Loves you. Jesus said, I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life. No, I'm not through with that yet. When I think of that verse, guys, I want to tell you. When I think of that verse, I'm so pumped up about this verse. And I can't understand why people walk away. I can't understand why people walk away from that kind of love. And then as I dig deeper, I found out why they walk away. It's not intellect. I hear so many people say, well, he's too smart to follow Christ. I'm sorry.
But it's I did do that. I'm sorry, Stacy. I'll go over here and do it. But it's not intellect. You know what it is? Buddy, it's fear. It's fear. We're afraid to let go and let God be God and let Him have control of our lives, because we wanted to. When I look back, the reason why I couldn't give it to Him, I wanted to be in charge. But then when I discovered a love like that, it's incredible. Nothing can separate His love from me. And how can you walk away from that? You're afraid. You can give me all the excuses in the world, but you are afraid. Fear. Jesus said, I'm the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me and shall never perish. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life, a second chance. How many in here besides me needed a second chance? I needed a second chance. And you know what? By the day's over, I'll probably need another one. A second chance. And have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. How do I make that first step? Stop being afraid. Let go of the fear. Don't let fear keep you from the greatest adventure in your life. Don't let Him do it. I've written something on your outline. Read it with me. Believer's prayer. I'm winding up. I know you guys are ready to go. Dear Jesus, I want to have a real faith in you, not a fake faith. Thank you for dying for my sins and showing me the way to live. Today, I want to become a true believer in you. I want to follow your example. I want to accept your gift of grace. I need your forgiveness and mercy. You made me for a purpose, and I want to invest my life in serving you. I want to trust your wisdom and strength. I want to hold on to your promises when times are tough. This is what a true believer is. This is what a true believer is. Guys, I want to say that prayer as we close, and I want to, let me go ahead and read the last verse. I just want to read this prayer right quick. But teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Teach us to spend them as we should. But I want to close in this prayer. I'm getting kind of winded, but I'm excited about what a love He has for me. I don't know how else to say that, about how He can't be separated. No matter how stupid I act and no matter what I've done, man, He has given me a second chance. And that's good news. Anyway, you guys can bow your heads. I'm going to read this prayer. And I tell you what, I'm going to tell you something new. You can even pray with your eyes open. Did y'all know God still hears when your eyes are open? Because I want to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer with me. And as we read it, I want you to read it, and Lee's going to come sing, and then I'm going to go down here and pray for you guys, and I want to tell you something. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a good day. If you need that second chance that I was talking about, to become a true believer in Christ and to follow His ways and to accept His grace and invest your life in Him. And I want that to be today, to trust Him and to hold on to His promises. Man, I'm holding on to the promise that He loves me and that no matter how bad I mess up, I'm still His. You know what? I hold on to that. And I want you to know that our elders are memorizing that verse this week. But anyway, let's look at where I wrote a believer's prayer. Read with me, and we're going to close with this. Dear Jesus, I want to have a real faith in you, not a fake faith. Thank you for dying for my sins and showing me the way to live. Today, I want to become a true believer in you. I want to follow your example. I want to accept your gift of grace. I need your forgiveness and mercy. You made me for a purpose, and I want to invest my life in serving you. I want to trust your wisdom and strength, and I want to hold on to your promises when times are tough. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand with us and sing. You guys want to come pray? We'll pray with you.